Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the full year results announcement 2019. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Timothy Collier. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you, everyone, for joining this conference call for the presentation of the Growthpoint Properties Australia annual results for the year ended 30th of June 2019. My name is Tim Collier, the Managing Director of Growthpoint. With me today are Michael Green, Chief Investment Officer, and Dion Andrews, our Chief Financial Officer. On 7th of August 2019, Growthpoint reached its 10th year of operations in Australia, a very proud achievement for the group. In this time, the group has delivered strong total returns to security holders and has built a quality property portfolio and business platform overseen by a dedicated, stable and energetic board and management team. The financial year 19 results are a continuation of this performance, with the group very well positioned for future growth. I'll now move to slide 4. Our business strategy is clear and centres around what it is to own property, to provide security holders or the owners of the property with sustainable income returns and long-term capital appreciation from properties we own, develop and manage. We seek to invest in the best quality commercial real estate we can, given our cost of capital and goal to enhance earnings. When we look to maximising value, we do this by maximising income. One follows the other. We ask the question, how will this strategy to lease, refurbish, expand, develop, retain or divest the property, increase property income or that of the group long term? Property rental income is our source of revenue and we have a long track record of high portfolio occupancy. Our offering is quality accommodation, modern buildings with high green credentials that suit government and corporate tenants. We work diligently to develop a long-term relationship and to understand their business needs. I'll turn to slide 5 and the key highlights for financial year 19. We have ended financial year 19 in a better position than when we started. Two high-quality office properties at West Perth in WA and Newstead in Queensland have been acquired. We also took the opportunity to divest two non-core assets. We are well down the track of realising the $350 million development pipeline, with two projects under development and one industrial project under review. Our properties are performing well and there has been 10% like-for-like valuation growth. The $4 billion property portfolio has maintained high occupancy and a long WALE and is benefiting from growth in the office and industrial markets. We raised equity of $309 million in two issuances which were oversubscribed, demonstrating strong demand from existing and new security holders. Our gearing has been reduced to 30.1%. That's below the group's target range, placing the balance sheet in a good position for future growth. FFO was above guidance at 25.1 cents per security, and the NTA growth has been strong at 10.3%. I'll now hand over to Michael Green to take us through significant transactions and also to highlight where value is being created.
Thank you, Tim. Turning to slide 6. An active 12 months of transactions paved the way for the group's strong share price growth of 14% and a total security holder return for the year of 21%. After a considered period of reviewing the Perth office market, we made our first acquisition in October of a modern 100% government-leased office building in West Perth. In December, we purchased the Bank of Queensland's headquarters building in Newstead, which is Growthpoint's largest single asset acquisition to date at a value of $250 million. Both targeted acquisitions exhibit the hallmark characteristics of Growthpoint's modern, highly green-credentialed, well-leased office portfolio. The two modern office buildings were acquired at a collective value of $341 million and at an average acquisition yield of 6.4% and with an average weighted average lease expiry of 7.6 years. In April, we divested $45 million of non-core real estate. Significantly, we also raised $309 million of oversubscribed equity, and we commenced funding over $200 million of development, which will continue to promote the group's growth into the future. Turning to slide 7. Growthpoint's portfolio has had yet another year of pleasing valuation growth, with 10% like-for-like growth over the last 12 months. This has been primarily driven by market rent growth, 33 basis points of yield compression, and development expenditure at Richmond and Jeff's Cross. The yield compression and market rental growth can be principally linked to our conscious decision to invest in the preferred sectors of office and industrial logistics, which both continue to outperform the retail sector over the last 12 months. Over the last 10 years, we've spent a lot of time reviewing various potential acquisitions, and typically, like with 75 Dorcas Street, South Melbourne, first consideration is the quality of the income and whether we believe that the property improvements, tenant, and location can sustain and grow that income into the future. We've long held the belief that if you manage the income and grow it over time, the valuation growth will follow. Having recently extended the major tenant ANZ Bank's lease at 75 Dorcas Street for 6 years, we've seen the value appreciate. The valuation has increased $20 million over the last 6 months and 28% since acquiring the property 3 years ago. Turning now to slide 8. Other than making targeted acquisitions, another major focus of the group is to enhance the value of the assets that it already owns. Slide 8 provides three examples of assets which we are at various stages of adding value. Botanica 3, a former on-grade car park and small office warehouse, is being developed into a state-of-the-art, A-grade, 5-star, green-star office building, which is garnering strong interest from a number of major corporate tenants for their occupation requirements. The building is progressing well and is on track for completion in early 2020. Once complete and leased, the development will provide a yield on costs in excess of 7.5%. which is more attractive and accretive than if the property was acquired on the open market today. The $54 million expansion of the new lease at Shepherd's Cross with Growthpoint's largest tenant, Woolworths, is also proceeding well and is on track for completion in July next year. Woolworths will commence a new 15-year lease across the whole facility from completion of the works, which are being rentalised at a yield of 6.75%. And the valuation yield on completion is 5.25%. The expansion and lease reset provide strong benefits for both the group's profit and loss statement and the balance sheet. We're also reviewing the potential redevelopment of our 25-hectare Broadmeadows Distribution Centre, which Woolworths will vacate in February 2020. We are progressing our strategy for the site, which can potentially house up to 120,000 square metres of logistics space, which would be approximately double the amount of space that currently exists on the site today. This redevelopment will be subject to both Growthpoint Board and Council approval. Valuation creation on behalf of our investors is something we've always focused on over the last 10 years at Growthpoint, and this has been translated into the group's ASX performance of 18.4% per annum total return for the last decade. I will now hand over to the Growthpoint's Chief Financial Officer, Dion Andrews, to provide an overview of the financial year 19 financial performance.
Thanks, Michael.
First off, I'd just like to say how pleased I am to be able to talk to you about another year of success at Growthpoint. Total security holder returns have again outperformed, and investors continue to favour our strategy, as evidenced by the two well-supported equity raisings executed over the year. I'll start by providing some high-level detail of the FY19 financial result, and then review areas of interest regarding our capital management and the potential impact on the results of the group moving forwards. Starting with a high-level overview on slide 10, net property income was $230 million, a 5.4% increase on the prior year. New acquisitions helped increase NPI growth, along with a good contribution from like-for-like rent increases in the existing portfolio. Smaller increases in finance and operating costs helped drive total funds from operation growth of 6.5%. This equated to FFO per security increasing to 25.1 cents, a 0.4% increase on last year, as there were more securities on issue due to the equity raisings conducted. FFO per security was also reduced somewhat due to an increase in income tax expense. Tax is elevated for the year as Growthpoint is acting as development manager at the Botanica 3 property and earning profits in the company as a result. These profits will be distributed in future via fully franked dividends. The development will complete in FY20 and a similar level of tax is expected to be paid in that year. However, tax expense should then reduce and will not impact FY21 and beyond unless Growthpoint elects to act as development manager on future projects. These results allow Growthpoint to deliver distributions per security of 23 cents, up 3.6% on last year, and in line with our long-term target of growing distributions by 3 to 4% per annum. Turning now to slide 11, we see gearing reduced by 380 basis points once $174 million was repaid from the equity raising launched in June 2019. This leaves gearing at 30.1%, below the target range of 35 to 45%. Our FY20 forecast for FFO per security of at least 25.4 cents is not predicated on deploying any further funds. However, after allowing for the developments on foot that Michael spoke about, the group can deploy circa $210 million of debt capacity at an additional cost of approximately 1.75% before gearing of 35% would be reached. Deploying funds at this cost should make any acquisition that the group can execute on accretive to the FY20 position. The equity raising launched in June comprised a fully underwritten $150 million institutional placement and a securities purchase plan. Our major security holder, Growthpoint Properties of South Africa, did not participate in this raising. This resulted in increasing the free float of the stock to approximately $1.3 billion and is expected to aid in liquidity and index weighting going forward. It was heartening to see both components of the raising so well supported. With the placement, we welcomed many new investors onto the register, as well as receiving strong support from existing investors. With the securities purchase plan, we increased the size from the original $15 million sought so that all investors who applied could receive their maximum entitlement. These transactions have put the Growthpoint balance sheet in a healthy position as we move into FY20. On slide 12, we show the growth in NTA per security was again robust with a 10.3% increase from 30 June 2018. The main component of the NTA increase was again property revaluations, with the group's investment in the sought-after segments of office and industrial continuing to bear fruit. Cap rate compression, market rent growth, and development investment all played their part in driving valuations higher. NTA growth per security is now up 62% over the last 5 years, and this, along with distributions provided over that period, has led to a 5-year return on equity of 112%. Slide 13 provides some further detail on where our debt book sits. In May 2019, the group settled its second issuance into the USPP market
raising $161 million. These proceeds were used to repay the $150 million bridge loan we executed when acquiring the property in Newstead, Queensland. The impact of this transaction was to increase the weighted average debt maturity out to 4.6 years at 30 June, up from 4.2 years at 31 December 2018. The 76% of debt that is hedged or fixed has a longer weighted average maturity of 5.6 years. The book is well balanced, with approximately half of facilities being shorter-term bank debt with the four Aussie majors, and the other half being longer-term non-bank debt. The group continues to have access to new facilities in either segment should they be required to support the group's future growth. Growthpoint also completed the reset of its interest rate swap book in June 2019 to take advantage of historically low interest rates. The impact of this was to lower all-in debt costs to circa 3.6% on a fully drawn basis for FY20. Lower debt costs in FY20 will help support our forecast distribution growth of 3.5%, and the deployment of available headroom will help drive growth in FFO per security. I'll now hand back to Tim to wrap up the presentation.
Thank you, Dion. To slide 14, a summary of the strategy and outlook. Growthpoint is well positioned in respect of its balance sheet and financial position, but also being invested in the growth sectors of office and industrial logistics. The portfolio is in good shape. It's $4 billion. It's fully diversified. We have 98% occupancy in a five-year WALE and quality tenants. So we are very well positioned in respect of the portfolio. With the development pipeline, quality assets will be created for the group that will provide long-term income, whilst we have capacity to further build the portfolio and deploy capital into accretive acquisitions. Our focus is still on tenants and occupancy and a sustainable income. Our guidance for financial year 20 is reaffirmed at FFO per security of at least 25.4 cents and a distribution of 23.8 cents per security, representing 3.5% growth over financial year 19. Finally, on behalf of the board and all our employees, I would like to thank our key stakeholders and those who have worked with and supported Growthpoint over the last 10 years. In particular, thank you to all GOS security holders and debt providers who have provided their capital to enable our business to grow. We'd be now pleased to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, you may press the pound or hash key. We have a question from the line of Darren Leung from Macquarie. Please ask your question.
Good morning. Sorry, good afternoon, guys. Just a few quick ones from me. One around your guidance of the 25.4 cents a share. At the equity raising, there was an asset identified for approximately $50 million. Can you please give an update in relation to that acquisition?
Yes, at the time, thank you, Darren. Tim here. At the time of the equity raising, we were in exclusive due diligence in regard to that asset, and we identified that it was a suburban Sydney office building of value of about $50 million. That we concluded our negotiations and the vendor wasn't able to proceed with that transaction at this time. They have indicated, however, that it may be possible to complete that transaction later in the year, and so therefore that forecast of 25.4 does not include that acquisition, but there may be potential for that acquisition later in this calendar year.
What was the vendor's reason for not proceeding?
They want to match more closely their cash flow and the proceeds, reinvest the proceeds of the sale.
Understand. But from your perspective, provider may have from theirs, were they happy with the pricing that you had offered them?
Yeah, the price is in agreement, in terms of the sale are in agreement.
Okay. Obviously, the market is subject to change, but what was the passing yield on the $50 million for that asset?
I prefer to announce that if the sale occurs, Darren. Okay.
Understand. Thank you. And the second question, in relation to the ADI stake, a few months ago, there was an announcement from you guys which indicated that you had received inbound inquiry and explored the divestment of the stake. Can you please provide a bit more colour around the background of that? You know, how did it occur, at what pricing, things like that?
There was some inbound inquiry and from parties, and we put that to the test through a process. There were several parties asked to express interest on the basis that there was a couple of parties expressing interest, so we had a wider audience, and no sale eventuated, and therefore we cleansed the market in respect of what happened there.
Can you indicate what sort of parties they were? Are they listed equity investors, or are they...
No, I can't, Darren.
Okay. And then perhaps as a final question, Woolworths bought Meadows, and I appreciate they're in different industrial markets, but one of your competitors recently re-signed one of their leases with a 35 to 40% rent-free incentive. What do you think the passing rent on an estate, if it's built out here, is versus the current Woolworths rent passing?
Paying at the moment, Michael here, Darren. They're paying around $100 a square metre for their current improvements. We're likely to modify those improvements for the tenants coming forward, and we're also likely to build out the estate if it does proceed. And I'd suggest that rents for new pre-leases in the north are around $80 a square metre, and for the retrofitted space is probably going to be a little bit lower than that. However, the retrofitted space you wouldn't expect to spend larger incentives on. It'd be more short-term accommodation.
Understand. What's the average incentive on a 10-year deal in the northern market at the moment?
It's actually not that high because there hasn't been that much activity. It's more like 20%, so that activity is starting to build now with a number of other developers moving into the space. So Frasers have recently started to develop some land up in Epping, and a couple of other tracks are happening at the moment. So the incentives are a bit lower than the west, and also the competition is lower than the west, but the inquiry is starting to move to the north.
Great. Thanks, guys.
The next question comes from the line of Ben Brayshaw from JP Morgan. Your line is now open.
Oh, hi. I just had a couple of follow-up questions. Firstly, on Broadmeadows, could you perhaps just shed some more light on the budgeted costs that you would anticipate to reposition that asset? I can see on the presentation that you have an expectation that the end value could be in the order of $150 million. So I'm interested in how you think about the CapEx, including potential incentives in order to reposition the asset and realise that that valuation.
Ben, Michael here. We're just in the process of evaluating that all at the moment. So we've got several consultants engaged and we're examining the building costs, we're examining the design, etc. So that's something that we will be taking to our board in the next few months. I can't really give you more colour at this point, but I will be able to in probably 3 months' time.
Okay. Do you have an estimate in mind at the moment as to how much of the existing improvements are able to be repurposed versus potentially those that may be demolished and obviously would make way for new improvements on the site?
Yep, so the majority of what is in situ at the moment can be repurposed. It'll be reconfigured into smaller units. That's our thought at this time. Yet with the sort of 20, bit over 23% site coverage at the moment, there's still an excessive amount of land. And if you look at where the building sits on the land, there's actually quite a lot of available land along the west and south facing areas of the building. So that's what we're examining as to how we would stage the construction, what size of buildings would go along that side. And some of that will be pre-commitment led, and we are talking to a few parties at the moment for the balance of the land. So we'll see how those progress over the next couple of months, and then we'll also look at what the preferred outcome is for the site if they don't progress.
Okay. And I think you mentioned earlier that Woolworths will vacate in Feb 2020. Will there be a termination payment or a bullet payment booked in FY20 over and above the circa $100 a square metre in base rent, which was agreed as part of the, I suppose, the Woolworths lease modification that occurred over the last 12 months?
Yeah, Ben, it's Dion here. Yes, we will be getting surrender payments. So when they leave in Feb, they will pay us 1 year's rent and outgoings, and that will all be recognised in FY20. Part of that was a deal to parlay into the Jeff's Cross expansion, where obviously we're not paying an incentive. We're spending $54 million and getting a 15-year reset. So that was the quid pro quo, if you like.
So essentially, the Broadmeadows income will come off and the new expanded Jeff's Cross income will come on in 2021.
Okay. So in other words, around $10 million from Broadmeadows will be the net income booked in 2020.
It's slightly less, but
you mean the value of the surrender payment alone or all income that will be received by the property in FY20? Sorry, Ben.
No, total income.
Total income, sort of the surrender payment plus the...
Okay.
We'll come back to you on that figure.
The exact, yeah. I don't know what the month is, sorry.
No, that's all right. And just last question on Richmond. Are you able to talk about the level of inquiry and the demand you're seeing and what's your sense of metropolitan office demand in Melbourne at the moment? Has it changed? Have you seen much of a sign of I suppose any slowing in demand from tenants over the last few months? Obviously, as the economy would seem to have slowed.
Sure. No, I think as the development progresses and we come closer and the build forms in situ, you can see a few images throughout the documentation that we are quite close to completing it. The increase in inquiry has been quite pronounced. We're having numerous inspections each week. We're putting out a number of proposals. So I think the inquiry levels are quite healthy at the moment. Clearly, we'd like to convert those to agreement for leases, which is what we're busily working on. I'd say a more broad statement on leasing inquiry across the country is that it's probably slightly diminished from what it was 6 months ago in response to, the slowing down of the economy. And you are seeing a higher proportion of tenants re-sign where they are. So we've obviously been the beneficiary of that at a number of our sites. But specifically on Botanica 3, we're actually quite happy with the level of inquiry we've got at the moment. We just want to convert a few of them so that we can start announcing them.
Okay. And when you look at the... I suppose the expiry profile or the take-up profile of those prospective tenants, what are your current expectations around the percentage income producing for that asset as you ramp up to achieve full stabilisation? Could you talk about the next couple of years, please?
Sure. So within this forecast period, so our 25.4 guidance, FFO guidance. We don't have a lot forecast to be leased in that period, so we've got about 4,000 square metres of leasing to be undertaken in that period of time, which is not material from a completion date in February. From that point, we anticipate that by the end of FY21, we'll have had the building filled up.
And okay.
And with the inquiry we've got on foot, I'd be confident that we'll achieve that.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other further questions on the line? Once again, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And we have a question from the line of Edward Day from Moelis. Please ask your question.
Hi there, team. Just wondering if you can perhaps break out the like-for-like growth in FY19 for office and industrial and just how that compares to your weighted average rent review?
Sure. So our like-for-like growth includes one-off income at the moment. So that was slightly inflated the prior period, so it probably looks a little bit diminished. But the office like-for-like growth was 1.9%. And the industrial was 1.4%. And if you exclude the one-off income from that period, the office would have been 2.7% and the industrial would have been 3.1%. Weighted average rent review across the portfolio is 3.3. And memory, in the industrial sector, it's 2.8 and office is 3.6, I think.
Yeah, okay, so the one-off makes most of that difference there. What are you assuming in your FY20 guidance?
We're assuming a similar level going forward.
Like for like?
Like for like, yeah.
Sort of that 3% level?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Once again, if you wish to ask question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We have another question from Ben Brayshaw from JP Morgan. Your line is now open.
Oh, hi, Tim. Thanks for the follow-up. Just further to your comments on Growthpoint South Africa choosing not to participate in the recent capital raise, your slide in the presentation shows considerable increase in free float over the last 12 months. Are you able to talk about or do you have any, expectations around whether Growthpoint South Africa may choose to, again, not participate if the group is to look to tap the market at some point again in the future? Just interested in your thoughts on that position.
Okay. I mean, certainly I can't personally speak for Growthpoint Properties of South Africa. I can observe a couple of things, though. So the decision to undertake a placement and not a rights offer in June was a board decision, a Growthpoint Properties Australia board decision. And obviously we have three South African directors, so it wasn't a case of Growthpoint going to participate in a capital raising. The board itself made the decision to do the placement, and the board saw that there was benefits in bringing new investors into the group and obviously increasing the market free float, and so that was the decision taken. If we go back 6 months before Growthpoint of South Africa participated in the rights offer, and they took up their pro rata entitlement in that. So that was a significant component of the rights offer. So I think it'd be fair to say that the board as a whole is cognizant that it's a good thing to improve liquidity where we can. And from time to time, Growthpoint itself obviously would like to participate. So it's probably a bit of a balance. They have said for a long time and publicly as well that they're happy with their level of ownership, and that if we were to undertake a significant transaction or a transformational transaction, they would choose to go as low as 50.1% and have ultimate ownership and legal control. So I think, as a balance, there's various ownership between 50.1% and where they are now, 62%. But the decision to undertake the placement was really the Growthpoint Properties Australia board decision. And, that decision, it was a good one because the placement went very well and there was, very strong demand from the institutional market.
Thanks for the colour, Tim. Appreciate that.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.